Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This is the Boop Show for Monday, September 21st, 2020. Episode 259. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Boop Show. As I mentioned earlier, I'm Scott Johnson, and that guy right there is Brian Dunaway. He's got some kind of handheld. What are we doing there? What is this?
Oh, hi, Scott.
Looks like
Brian's got like a Switch or something.
But look at this.
He actually has is the Razer Kishi that just came out. It's an additional control. It's a control pad that wraps around your iPhone. Mm-hmm. I have the iPhone 7. Mm-hmm. And it's got adapters for different size iPhones. And I ordered this directly off the Apple Store.
I heard these are cool. I've heard good things about them.
These are very cool, and so far my experience has been pretty good. I wish it was a little bit more immersive. I wish the Razer app that backends this lets you adjust some of the settings and update the firmware. I wish it controlled like launching of your games, because you have to launch the games through your typical touch.
Yeah.
Which can be a little disconnecting, because it doesn't you realize, oh, I'm using the phone
right
instead of the other. But as far as the control goes and how it feels fantastic, except for one little thing, and I won't harp on it because it's by design for a reason. One side is very much in there; it plugs into your port on your iPhone.
Right?
The other side is flexible, because it just wraps around on the outside, which is fine if you're holding it like you would a standard game controller like this.
Yeah.
But when I'm in bed, you know, I like to play in my bed and in the Switch.
Yeah.
And when you hold it over your head, you don't realize it, but you slowly start pulling it off on the corner.
And then burnt right in the face.
And
right
then it falls off, but it's not a big deal because it's attached to the other side, but it's just annoying. It's just annoying.
No, so. I get you. That's kind of a pain.
This is their first generation of this. They've had it for the Android for a while, and now it's available now on the
Apple Store. So it's just on the Apple Store? They have this on
the Apple Store is where I got it from. It was $99 plus $8 tax for where I live, and then another $8 or thereabouts to have it shipped overnight, and they sent it FedEx, and it came just like they said it would.
Oh, also available on Amazon.
The Razer
now.
Store and Amazon and other locations, correct.
They've all got it now.
Yeah.
The one bummer is, well, we don't know yet because it's just rumor, but the new phone might have USB-C instead of Lightning, so you may have to... This thing may go obsolete pretty quick.
It most definitely will go obsolete pretty quick. And it's kind of pricey. You know, you've probably priced some of these others that are shaped like controllers, and then you just place your phone in it, like in a little extra grip, which looks good and feels good. And I like those a lot. This is supposed to be a little more integrated experience. And I really think at $99, it's kind of expensive.
What's weird is less money on... The new iPhone one is less. It's $30 less than the ones for Android.
Really?
And I don't know why.
Right.
$129 for those, $99 for this, even on Amazon. So I don't know.
It's kind of expensive for what it is. Yeah. I mean, it's not a great experience, but I decided I was going to re-up my Apple Arcade for $4.99.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll talk about the reason why, because there's a game. The second game I'm going to review is the reason why I decided to do it.
Mm.
And so it's interesting. Now, this would be much better if Microsoft could have made the deal with Apple.
For xCloud, that would be good.
Right, for the xCloud thing, and maybe there's some talk about how to manage that eliminates Xbox's centralized app and allows them to put individual games.
My fervent belief is that they will figure out a way.
They will figure out a way. But
gigantic part of the market they're going to want to fill. There are a lot of kids with iPads and other mobile devices, and they very much want to have that in their arsenal. I mean, Microsoft said, we're willing to jump through all kinds of hoops. So they just got to find a hoop and jump through it.
I'm very excited about the Xbox things. I don't want to get too deep in this discussion because there's another discussion to talk about. Microsoft's just as important, if not more so.
Yeah.
But I've had mixed feelings. I've seen a lot of people very angry about the xCloud and Apple and Microsoft not being able to come to the deal they need to. And I'm really not, I haven't really been that upset. Because I'm like, well, Apple Arcade, Apple already has this gaming thing there. I mean, I don't see myself playing.
Well, people that have iPhones are upset because if they're planning on going full xCloud and taking advantage of that, then they feel like they're being left out. So I totally get that. And they are.
I just don't see myself playing that many xCloud games on my iPhone, but maybe I just don't have the right iPhone.
If I had I have an iPad Pro that I use for a lot of stuff. If I had that somewhere with a controller, Bluetooth to it, that would be a cool way to play things remotely. Old notebooks and stuff like that. Like I'm less excited about mobile phone and mobile use for the service than I am about
your iPad.
An old notebook or a crappy old PC, like the browser-based stuff, which is coming. Yeah. It's just not there yet. So when
if Chromebook right now and in Chrome is already doing this with GeForce Now. So,
So you should be able to, at some point here, Microsoft will get further enough in their xCloud beta and browsers will be next. So, and they've already said so. So that's all good. Yeah. That's really all I care about moving forward. But I really do wish they would strike a deal because there's a big, big chunk of the market they'll be missing out on.
Yeah. So interesting things going on this week, right?
Yeah, big time. So tomorrow, pre-orders for Xbox Series S and X.
I will be at my local GameStop, mask on.
Oh, really? You're going to go in person, are you? Cool.
Yeah, and as long as I'm not more than three people, I'll be going in. I'm assuming there's going to be some type of credit check thing. I'm sure it's going to be a totally new experience for how to qualify for the pre-order on this thing.
So you're going to do the pay down thing. You're going to do the 2 year.
Yeah. I just want to know what the experience is like. I'm not going because I'm like, I'm part of the cutting edge. I'm just curious what this new thing is going to be.
Yeah. You're doing it for science. It's for science.
And how it's going to do it. Right.
Yeah. I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah.
I think that's great. I'm excited to hear how your experience goes. Here's my plan. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, if you'd asked me, I was still on board, like full PS4 or PS5 on board. That's where I was headed. Right. That's all changed in the interim, and it's mostly because not only were the prices really aggressive, and Sony's been they've had to sort of match those prices or at least come close to them. But Microsoft has really sold me on services, and they threw in EA Play last week as part of Game Pass Ultimate. It's just included, or PC, or just standard Game Pass. But basically, you get the EA Here Come Play Our Games fee for free, no added cost. And also since then, I just did all the math. I started doing the math going, well, all right, do I get Spider-Man Miles Morales on day one if I go this direction? No.
Yes.
If I go PS5, then yes, but I also have to pay $70 for that game. Most games are all going to be $70 now. Do I care so much about having some hot new launch title that I must have on day one, or am I okay with the fact that Game Pass covers a gigantic library of games that are cross-saved through my PC and it's all for one price and I'm done? Like they have really, really aggressively convinced me that they may have the better value this time. They're also investing heavily in first party development. Some of that is acquiring new studios and old studios and making them their own. And today, it was announced Microsoft bought ZeniMax/Bethesda Softworks for $7.5 billion. Bethesda, you guys.
And those people make some games that we are familiar with.
They make a lot of games people are familiar with. So there's all sorts of stuff in my head about this. I haven't really been able to, get it all straight in my own brain. But basically, this is what it comes down to. Some people are worried that this means they lock down any other platforms, and it only plays on, Microsoft stuff and services. And that's not necessarily true. If you look at their first major acquisition in the last few years that was a big deal was Minecraft, and they have kept Minecraft in all the places you want it, and they've supported it everywhere it is, and they haven't done anything weird to it. If anything, yeah. Minecraft has continued to thrive and do well under their stewardship. So that's one example I would use. The other example would be they bought Obsidian and then published under the Microsoft Studios name their game Outer Worlds, which came out on PC, Xbox One, PS4, and the Switch. That's a Microsoft Studios game. So what I'm saying is some of these deals were made before, so they have to stick to those deals. Maybe, let's say they said, hey, Fallout 5 is being made. This is just making this up out of pure thin air, but let's just say, hey, we're working on Fallout 5 or Elder Scrolls 6. We know they're doing that. And now those are Microsoft is the parent company of that output, right?
Right.
I think Microsoft would fully intend to release those day and date on their services and everywhere else that wants it. I think it'll be on Steam. I think it'll be on Epic's stupid store. I think
Epic's stupid store. I love how you give grief to the Epic store.
I hate that store. I mean,
I don't understand why you hate that store.
Because it's not even a store.
The features suck. It's the launcher.
Yeah, but the features blow. It's terrible.
Right.
It's an awful place to be. Getting free games over there is great, but I am always very hesitant to spend actual money there. I'll do it once in a while. I bought Tony Hawk.
Yeah, we had this discussion last week, and I would just love to know what the dividing line is. I don't want to get into it now, but I do want to get into that one day.
They gave you a web page, basically,
right?
And you click on a link that launches a thing. That's it. Like that's their service. They don't have any kind of built-in stuff for community management. They don't have any kind of stuff for like, hey, what are the patch notes for the last 6 months for this game? Or what does the latest patch include?
And with that, Steam Store, there is a lot to be left to be desired. Lots of times I'm like, I'll try to like, it is such a round robin linking system. It's just like, oh, I just want to quickly look at something about this game. And the next thing I know, I've got to drill down like six menus, and I'm like, who's the user interface designer over here? I want to kill him.
I'm not saying that there's not some bloat over there. There surely is.
Right.
I'm just saying there's a happy medium somewhere, and Epic needs to grow up to that. And
I think every single console and gaming platform needs to look at good old games and their Galaxy launcher and figure it out, because I can't stand trying to navigate games on my Xbox or my PS4 or none of it. All of it's just not intuitive.
UI is bad. Storefront stuff is bad. They're all doing a terrible. Bad job. Yeah, no question.
Yeah. But even the Apple App Store, I don't know what they've done, but me trying to find anything there feels like just like they're shoving stuff down my throat and just not making it intuitive.
Well, part of the problem is, certainly Steam suffers from this. There is a glut of content. There's so much.
Yeah, yeah, so
the App
much.
Store is full
Coming
of millions of apps. The Steam Store is full of hundreds of thousands of games and apps. And navigating it all is tricky. I still think they do better than Epic. Epic is just giving me big, dumb JPEGs to click, and it's lame.
Which is fine by me.
I need, because
all
than
I'm
that.
Doing is looking for that. The free games.
And I do and like free I'm games. I'm not lying. You know, I won't lie. I go there and get every free game they ever do.
Sure. Right.
Why not?
And after that, most of the time I launch it, I usually I'm playing it on my most of the games I play on the Epic Store, I'm usually playing on my Mac, and it's usually the ones that are supported through the GeForce Now. So I don't even really even see.
Yeah, I just do all PC stuff.
So I just go to the store just so I can do my little collections.
It's just not intuitive. It's got problems. Everyone's got problems, but I think Epic's had enough time to tweak that thing out, and they just haven't done shit with it. But anyway, it's not the point. The point is ZeniMax, Bethesda, Microsoft now owns them.
$7.5 billion.
Yeah, Microsoft's got money to spend, dude. And here's the thing.
They do.
They don't.
Well, they had all that money left over from the offer with the TikTok. So, you know, it's like,
yeah, they could just use it there. So the way I look at it is this. Bethesda's not been in the best shape in recent years.
Yeah.
Overall, they kind of have lost a little bit of vision, and maybe some of that has to do with, you know, I don't know how the bank's going for them, but now the bank will be going really well for them. And assuming Microsoft takes a hands-off approach, but wants good creative output and content, this might be a very good thing for Bethesda and what kinds of games they make in the future. Right. Now you have Obsidian, one of my favorite RPG developers, and Bethesda, who maybe is a little hit and miss lately, but in the, you know, in the past has been one of the most important developers for me. Yeah, they are now back under the same roof, which means they own the IP for Fallout, but Obsidian did Fallout New Vegas for Bethesda.
Yes.
Maybe now they're all together, we can get a Fallout Vegas of New Vegas 2 or some other game that is a Fallout game made by Obsidian would be an amazing turn of events. And this is as likely as it ever would be.
Microsoft is doing. I don't know what Microsoft is doing and how everything is going in the background, but the output has looked good on the things they've touched recently.
Well,
and
that's
so
what they're doing,
I can't say there won't be like these documentaries in 2 years from now about the nightmare that was working with Microsoft. But
I mean, they could
for
be.
Right now, I am very happy with just about everything they're touching.
Yeah, and let me make this clear too. Like this, what they're doing right now, and this is why I think it's important. And again, 2 weeks ago, I was all PS5. I am not that
right
now. And it's mostly because of this. I see what they're doing. I see what their strategy is. It's almost the only strategy they have, but it's a big one. Sony doesn't have the infrastructure Microsoft has. They don't have the deep pockets Microsoft has. Mm-hmm. They have a very successful console, and it's their biggest moneymaker. So Sony's doing fine, but they don't have the breadth of financial depth that Microsoft has. Microsoft can spend money all day and it'll make no difference to anyone if they lose it. So some might say, well, that makes them flippant and unwilling to stick behind something. Maybe. But I actually feel like Xbox, they've already proven out that they're willing to stick behind it. That's number one. Number two,
They're no Google.
They're doing the exact same thing that Sony did at the tail end of the PS3 development cycle. They started investing and buying developers. They bought Naughty Dog. They bought other companies and rolled them into, in some cases, changed names and just said, oh, well, that's now Santa Monica Studio, or that's now the thing we call Sony Japan or whatever. But these were all existing teams and houses. They bought them and they built out first-party content where Microsoft sucked at first-party for a long time. In between Halo and the original Gears, you have a pretty big breadth of like, man, they really give us anything new and unique. And about 3 years ago, Microsoft started hunkering down on this idea, and we're now starting to see some of the fruit of it, but also some of the promise of it, and acquiring a developer slash publisher slash monster beefy thing like Bethesda is a gigantic move. That's a gigantic move. So
I'm excited.
I'm excited too. It's easy to look at this stuff and say, oh, acquisitions are dangerous. It eliminates competition. Trust me, plenty of games competition out there.
Oh, yeah.
Microsoft needs an edge in first party.
The gaming
market
has just exploded over the last, you know.
Yeah, it's like huge. I remember when the entire industry was worth less than $7.5 billion.
So, I mean, there's a lot more to work with now. Of course, you know what that means, too? That means a lot more low-end artists are getting screwed and working long hours.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I mean,
I can almost guarantee you somebody's getting screwed over.
Well, yeah, but that's true anyway. I don't think getting acquired by Microsoft means you're going to get screwed, though. If anything, it means you've got more money to rely on, so you don't have to screw your employees or lay off entire swaths of people after a game ships. That sort of stuff isn't as much of a problem when you are the parent company. You can't do that as easily. So Microsoft and Sony are in a pretty good position that way. This doesn't diminish, by the way, the fact that Sony's going to have some great games. They're going to have some killer first-party content. They're going to have the strengths they always have going into this generation. But they are missing some key components that, for the first time, have given me a little bit of pause. And it's not anything they're doing, like, wrong. They're things they just don't have. Like, Microsoft's got Azure and a gigantic multi-billion-dollar infrastructure behind everything they're doing. That is undeniably an advantage for them. If they can get it to the customers right, and then the fact
I still think about it every time I load up a game on my PS4, and I buy more disc for my PS4 than I do digital games, and mostly is because I know it's going to take 2 days to download something, even on my good download bandwidth. No,
they have to fix that. If it's not better this next time, where people should revolt, because that was so bad last generation.
So bad.
But the thing with Microsoft is they leaning into services like Game Pass and making it basically the holy grail of Netflix for games, because that's what it is. It's closer to that than it's ever been. And we'll just keep going in that direction. That's my pattern. That's how I play now. Yeah, I'm not interested in got to get that one $70 game for the next 3 months. I don't do that.
Yeah.
I played tons of little things and small things and big things and middle-sized things and first-party things and non-first-party things. Like, I'm all over the map about all the different stuff. So a lot of this is coming from my perspective. But for me, it's no longer going to be enough to say, oh, that's where I'll get Spider-Man and God of War. Those are two amazing games. Don't get me wrong. But is that value proposition isn't what it used to be compared to, hey, how's $15 a month or less if you're just going to stay away from the PC side? And how about hundreds of games, including 360 games and OG Xbox games and everything in between, the entire last generation Xbox One games, up-res this, up-res that, backwards compatibility till daylight, plus new games that we're making, new products that are coming together, some old favorites like Halo, but also guess what? We bought Obsidian and Bethesda and these other developers, and they're going to be making new stuff too. And I don't know. I feel like they're.
Yeah, I'm with you. This being like the Netflix, because I don't feel like we're getting a bunch of shovelware. That's the one thing that Microsoft has done really well. They could easily have just said, hey, look, here's a bunch of crap we already own. Give us X number of dollars a month. And there's been companies who have done this. They just take their existing properties and go, instead of selling it to you, we're just going to sell you like rental prices for it. Microsoft's not just going, we're going to give it to you for like a rental price or a subscription service. They're going like, we're going to give you quality content again and again, and we're going to just keep quality content coming like Netflix does.
Yeah, they need to do that. Like Netflix is the model, HBO Max, that kind of stuff. You make the good content and you make a lot of it and you make it accessibly cheap.
Yeah.
That's what Game Pass is. It's crazy.
It's blowing my mind. Like every time I turn around and Microsoft releases something that I'm like, wow, I would have paid real money for this. And instead, I just have access to it.
Yeah.
I'm already giving my money. So whenever the bill comes, I'm like, no problem. Just keep sucking it up. When I get my, let's say today, I got my Microsoft bill, $15 for the ultimate.
Yeah.
I paid it gladly. Didn't think anything about it. And then like an hour later, I got my PlayStation Plus bill and I said, cancel.
Yeah, cancel it. Because what does that give you?
It didn't process through, because the only reason why I got it last month was so I could play the game with the blobs and the, I told you I was on some medicine.
Yeah, some medication going today. Well
what was it?
Basically, listen to this. PlayStation Plus is basically Epic's PC game store in that every month.
Fall Guys.
Every month there's free games to play.
Right.
Except in Epic's case, it's every week. And in Sony's case, you have to pay for that, right? In Epic's case, you don't. You just get free games. Now, that's not on a console, so it's obviously a different marketplace and all of that. Don't get me wrong. I have appreciated Plus in the past because I've gotten some cool games out of it.
Yeah, me too.
But as compared to the value I would get out of Game Pass Ultimate, it's not even close. To get one or two games a month from Sony, and I only get them if I say subscribed.
Yeah.
In the Microsoft case, I can if it's a third party that's only going to be there for 6 months and it's on its way out, I get a massive discount if I want to own it. If it's a Microsoft property, it's there in perpetuity.
Yeah.
If somebody partners with them, it's there forever. So as that stuff gets better and better, it's like, again, like Netflix, you're not going to have the movie leave. It's a Netflix original, so it'll stay. It's that model. I know that's what they're adopting here, and they have the back end to do it. Sony doesn't. So to me, if you're asking where my value is, now that we know the cost of these actual consoles, and on top of that, they're also saying, oh, and what if it was only $35 a month for the console and Ultimate and for 2 years, and ultimately the console will cost you $240 instead of $299 for this S and $340 instead of $399 for the X. Like, holy crap, they've covered every possibility. And while you could say, well, on the Sony side, there's still a simplicity to just buy our console, now buy a game to put in it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just this old fashioned, let's just do it. And I think that worked in their favor this last generation. But we are in new territory, and I'm as surprised as anybody that they're that I'm feeling this way. But I really,
I'm so
truly
excited because like you said, it used to be you'd buy a console and you would have just enough money to maybe buy one to two games to play with it. And you would know that was going to be the two games you were going to play for the next 2 or 3 months until more money started coming in or better games started coming out.
Yeah.
Not so this time. You're going to be hopping straight in. Most of these games are probably going to be coming from, you know, what's already there. And hopefully they're going to have some new things that will make it exciting. But you won't miss a beat. Mm-hmm. You'll just you'll hop right in and you'll feel like you never left or stepped back in your gaming. You'll feel well, like you're
that's the thing. Like on Christmas Eve. And on Christmas Eve, if right. you're some 15-year-old and you got a PS5, you need to hope that they got you one game at least that you're going to want to play.
Right.
That game costs $70. It's a third the cost of the freaking console at that point, right. which is crazy, right? And then
yeah. You always get one big title, and then they would throw in some intellectual property with this crap game. You know what I mean? It's just like...
Right, but then if you're also paying the $9 or whatever it is a month for Plus...
Right.
Then, yeah, you're like, oh, okay, I get some cool PlayStation 4 games that I probably already played and already beat and don't care to play again, necessarily. That is very different value proposition.
Right.
Then over here on this side, a parent says, yeah, we only have a 1080p TV and I don't really care about 4K. So let's just get the S. All right. $25 a month. Going to pay that for 2 years is all. There's no interest. We right. easily qualify for it. And he immediately, our son, our daughter, have immediate access to hundreds and hundreds of video games, new and old,
yeah.
available right now. And the son, who really likes playing on his PC sometimes, is cross saves and stuff to his PC anyway from this right. same account. Like it's not even a question to me that that's not the better value. Now, does that include brand loyalty? And there's a lot of other questions, right? There's a lot of other yeah. issues where people are like, oh, I just want to hump Sony's leg and, or I just want to make out with Microsoft, whatever. I get that we have those divides in our society as well.
Right.
It's,
right.
it's weird to me, but what I'm looking for here, if I'm looking for my just sort of honest, straightforward, like, where's my value for the dollar I'm spending? Microsoft made a kick-ass argument this time.
They and I think made I'm it doing great. It. And it's funny because you know what I think they've done? I think they have created an instance where usually most gamers get one or the other console, but you could very easily and conceivably go, well, I'm leaning towards the PS5. But why not go ahead and get an Xbox for just a few more, you know, for $25 a month, because that's very affordable to just bump right into it. So you could actually have both consoles
yeah.
for just a little more than single console.
And the other thing I've noticed is
payment,
if you look at the last year of right. my gaming, I've used Game Pass PC a ton.
So much.
I don't have an Xbox, so I've been using that. But I use Game Pass on PC a ton, and I haven't touched my PS4 since Spider-Man. It's been right. that long. It's just gathering frickin' dust. And again, right. I'm not bashing on it. What I'm saying is the value hasn't been there. The value is drawing me in a different direction. And I think Microsoft royally effed up with Xbox One in terms of overall strategy in the last gen. It's the reason they were yeah. way down in second place. But I really like where they're going. And I think it's going to get me up tomorrow fairly early and on a couple of websites to see if I can't snag a pre-order. I think I'm doing it.
Right, right.
Which is nuts, because a month ago I would have said, well, you know, I don't know what it's going to be like. I could just do Game Pass on PC forever and not really worry about having a thing. And the thing is, what I've learned is Microsoft kind of doesn't care. They don't really care if you get their hardware. That'd be yeah. great if you did, but they don't care that much. What they care is that you are buying into this ecosystem where you're getting, and again, it's only worth it if it's giving you the value. Like I always tell people, what do you like about Netflix? Oh, the originals, this, that, and the other. I love these original movies they're doing, the money they're spending, and great directors, and blah, blah, blah. And they, well, I don't know if any of that's for me. Well, then you shouldn't do it. You know what I mean?
Oh, no. Yeah, absolutely.
So their job is to prove,
don't do it.
Their job is to prove out the value of this ecosystem. And right now, it feels valuable. That's all I'm saying.
Like I tell you right now, I mean, you can go get just the old Xbox One and get the Game Pass, and you would still enjoy the crap out of yourself right now. I mean, there's no sense in, you probably pick up one of these things for practically nothing at this point. Right. So, I mean,
yeah, you might be able to spend, I don't know what they are in the store.
There's still a lot of life left in this thing. I don't have any problems running Xbox.
Well, that's the beauty of it, is it's more like, in fact, maybe part of the reason this appeals to me is it's taking the path of PCs a little bit. It's saying, look, these last two consoles and the new one and the last generation were both x86 architecture, a lot of simple upgrade pathing, you know, where like on a PC, I'm playing games from 2012 before this generation still, because I can, because my PC just goes back forever. As long as some horrible thing happens, it doesn't happen with Windows, I'm pretty much playing games I want for as long as I want to play them. I was playing Warhammer Space Marine and realized, oh my gosh, this thing came out in 08 and it's running just fine on my PC. It's no problem. So they're kind of starting to go that direction, because so much of their library, all PS, or excuse me, all Xbox One games playable, all of them. So that upgrade path, done. So 360, tons of 360 games had the work done for them. And so they're all there. Some OG games on the original Xbox from freaking 2001, they're there. So we're reaching back 20 years worth of game stuff for people, and they're all part of the pass. You don't have to own all those games. You just play those games. And so that compared to what? Well, Sony's like, all right, we'll give you a handful if you pay for our subscription. And these are some of the PlayStation 4 ones. Oh, and by the way, a lot of PlayStation 4 games will play on here, but not all of them. And the ones that do, they require PS4 controllers. They won't work with the PS5 controller.
Right.
And one other thing, no PS3 compatibility, or two or one. I'm not sure that's going to pan out well for them. Once people get their head around the value proposition, because it isn't very valuable. Now, if it's just a, if it's like, you know, to some degree, Apple buyers or other people that are just buying into the prestige of the brand they love, well, then that's a whole other issue. And I guess good luck to you. But I tend to do this based purely on value. In the last generation, Sony was the value. Nintendo was a value. Microsoft wasn't a value for me.
I'm with you. The last generation, Sony won hands down. I didn't even get my Xbox until later in the consoles age. And I think the Switch still has, I think all the consoles currently still have a good bit of life. I wasn't feeling like that during the PS. My PS3 and my Xbox 360, when the new consoles came out, I was really starting to feel like my other game consoles were really starting to suffer. I was ready for the next thing.
Yeah.
And I can't say that this time around. I mean, I feel like, I'm not going to send my Xbox One anywhere. I don't know what I'll do with it. Maybe I'll put it in the living room. Maybe it'll live somewhere else, but it won't languish.
We're at that point of diminishing returns where, you know, these are less obsolete and there's not the giant jump in graphics and things aren't exactly as pronounced. Like we're just in a new place. I feel like Microsoft's been sniffing that out a little better. That's all.
Right.
And they may have, I mean, what's funny is some of the ideas that are working for them now were ideas they were trying with the one. They just didn't know how to yet. Right. So it's almost like they knew they had to head this direction. More digital, more access.
They didn't, their biggest problem, and we knew it right away with the Xbox One, was the glaring problem with no real relationships with gaming studios, because they had let all those pretty much die.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sony was like in bed with all the studios and was just making all these great deals. And so we knew right away, and it takes a long time to cultivate those relationships.
I would argue it took Microsoft most of this current generation
it took just about the whole time
just to get here. And in Sony's case, that was true toward the tail end of the PS3. They didn't just come into this all set to go. The same kind of criticisms were aimed at Sony early in the PS3 days, because they also hadn't cultivated a ton of first party content. Right. And at that time, it was still, you know, Nintendo was still in that fight and was, you know, providing a weird piece of competition with the Wii, but they outsold the weird Wii. Else.
What's wrong with your weird Wii?
That's still the highest selling console of that generation. It did really well. So now you have a Nintendo that's like way over here doing whatever it does now. That's like totally different than everybody else is doing. Yeah, and that's cool.
The Switch is the Switch. I had somebody ask me the other day. It was like my 8-year old wants to get a game system. What should I get them? And I was like, well, what are they used to playing? They play phone games. It's like, just get a Switch. They're probably not going to, if they haven't been used to playing a console, they're not going to dig a console.
Well, they might, but I just think the Switch is its own unique little bastard, you know, and it's
little bastard. Look at you over there.
Nintendo's always carved out their little special place of first party games that nobody else can make. And,
right.
They aren't even on the same release schedule. Like a new Switch, like a new generation of Switch or whatever's next will happen like halfway through this next generation of these current ones that are being launched. So it's like they're not even in the same. They compete, but they don't compete. It's weird, right? They're weird.
Yeah, all of them are kind of that way. Even the Xbox and the PlayStation, we're talking about the different, arguments about it. But I mean, really, they've almost all have created these, their niches, and they're kind of all. I don't know if they'll suffer greatly from like prior. It was like you could lose out a generation, but I think everybody's going to be a winner this generation in some. In some form or fashion.
Well, I basically have business money I have to spend on one of the consoles. I think I've locked in on Microsoft. I think that's happening.
Right. Well, I mean, business money. I mean, come on. I mean, are you really going to feel the?
I'm not.
Are you really
going to
feel the pinch of $25? I mean, because you're already going to save because you'll no longer have to have the $5 you spend now. So you can
subtract
that. Well,
I'm just
going to
get the thing. I'm just going to get it.
So basically, you're going to buy out. You're not going
to. I'm just going to buy it. Yeah, I'm not going to do. I don't need to do the financing on this one. I'm just going to spend that. I got like $500 that I have set aside in 2020 to spend on a console as part of my tax plan for business spending. Which sounds weird, I know, but that's the way this stuff works when you do this for a living. So I'm going to spot.
I'm doing the plan. I also have been putting back money because before they announced the prices on the Xbox, I had been putting back a part of every month of my Patreon and Twitch support in preparation and assuming that the console would be around $500. And so I also have the money put back, but I kind of am curious. I want to have the experience of this new type of purchasing. I want to experience it and be pissed about it or be joyed about it.
Yeah, I want to see how it goes because right now it sounds like stupid simple. It's like go in.
It does, and I want to see. I just want to see what this is like.
It's like our old, 2-year freaking satellite cable bill contracts where it'd be 2-year contract on a cable bill. It's a little like that, except it's something you actually want and can control.
Right. It does a lot like a cell phone deal.
Yeah, a little bit like that. Yeah. Yeah.
And what will happen at the end of the cell phone deal? With the end of my 2-year contract, will they offer me a newer or different console? I'm curious about this whole path.
Yeah.
It makes me interested.
A lot of questions about that. And they haven't really said, I would assume in 2 years, there's no new Xbox.
Right.
But it's entirely possible that in 3 years there is, and you
I don't know. Like in the middle of generations, usually they come out with a special edition or has a little more memory or has a little.
Yeah, but it's always more than 2 years. It's like, the Xbox, in fact, they never do that. What you're talking about, they never do. The only time they've ever done that is this last generation, is the very first time they ever did that with the PS4 Pro and the Xbox X or Xbox One X. Both of those were very incremental increases. And they also came way late in those generations, well beyond 2 years. So you're going to own, here's my guess. I could be wrong. Here's my prediction.
Right.
You're going to go in there and you're going to say, all right, $35 a month. I'm ready. Let's go. In 2 years, you'll own the console. You'll be done paying it and you'll own it. And it'll be at least another 2 years before there's any kind of upgrade because they want you to do it anew. They want you to do it afresh, not just send another. They don't want you to, at the exact time the 2 years is up, say, all right, here's my old one. Give me a new one. I don't think they want to do that.
It's going to be an interesting deal with the devil at the end of my contract. That's all I could say. They're going to have to, because it's going to be like, oh, it's been 2 years. And in the last couple of months, you haven't been putting out really any new content. And my console is kind of languishing over here. I'd be like, we're about to end our little contract, Microsoft. You don't think they're going to come up with something? You don't think they're going to come at me going, hey, Brian?
They might.
Yeah.
They very well might. I don't know, though. I mean, I think
they're going to come at me, man.
They're going to give S people an upgrade path. I'm sure of that. But if you're getting an X, I just can't see in 2 years. I don't know. I just can't see it. It's possible.
I'm doing the X. I'm doing X.
Yeah, I'm doing the X as well. I'm not going to get the
X. I got to do the X.
For a hot minute, I thought I might, but I don't want the smaller
I can't
drive.
Do the S because it looks stupid. I'm sorry it looks stupid.
It looks cool
in
the unboxing. I watched the unboxing. It actually looked cool in the unboxing. It's better than still images. I kind of like it. I like these basic-ass shapes. I think it's fine. The PlayStation 5 one's fine, too, but it's just a little too wacky. It's like...
Yeah,
it's like I don't know.
You know me. Yeah, I haven't changed. I still want my, entertainment centers because that's who I am. I'm an entertainment center kind of guy, and if I can't stack it with my other components, I'm gonna be mad at you.
Well, you'd
don't do that.
You'd be able to stack the Good point. I guess the S will stack less because you get that weird vent. But they got to get push heat out of there somehow. So why not? I guess I don't know. These new consoles, both Sony and Microsoft's entries, these are all about heat distribution this time. There's no question. Like that thing's got a big old ass vented freaking fan monster at the top of that X. PlayStation is huge. It's the size of a PC case. It's gigantic.
It is so huge and so stupid looking. It reminds me of the first PS3s when those came out. I hated those stupid things.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm going to hate this one too. Not because it didn't look cool, because they look cool.
Do you want to hear my impression of a PS3? Thing. Here's my impression of a PS3 when you turn it on. You ready?
Do it. Yeah, right? Everything was so hot that generation.
It was so loud. Like,
you need some coolers to throw on that thing.
They didn't know what to do yet because the heating thing was just starting to be a problem. So you had red rings of death on Microsoft's side for heat problems. Yeah. And you had heat problems causing just like, it sounded like aircraft taking off when your PS3 was on.
Yes.
PS4 Pro is kind of bad too. PS4 is not so bad, but PS4 Pro is super loud. Right. Anyway.
You know what I love?
Yeah.
We've been trying to talk about a little topic at the beginning of each episode, and man, we really went to town today. Are we even going to have time to talk about our all of our games? You want to skip a few of them?
We're going to do. I'll tell you what. Let's do our top pick one for each one. Guess our game, and then we'll save this email for next week. Actually,
perfect.
Not true. It's so short. I'm going to read it today. So yeah, we totally got this. Check this out, guys. I played a game I really liked, and I want to talk about.
Wait, you played a game you liked?
Yeah, I did. I try not to talk about games I don't like, so that's not a big shock to everybody.
You ever scrap one? You ever start the week off, start playing, and go, "This is stupid."
Yes, I have scrapped them before. In fact, frequently, I have done that.
Yeah.
Not today. Today, I'd like to share with you guys a game called Hot Shot Racing, and the reason I'd like to share it with you is because it's cool. Did any of you grow up going to arcades and playing Daytona USA or Virtua Racing? Which were both Sega products. Did you play them, Brian? Were you into those?
I played them. I love them, and I want to live them.
Daytona. I used to love that song.
Daytona.
Anyway, this
I saw this.
Yeah,
this
probably saw it. It's very striking. The minute you see it, you go, oh, it's one of these. So it's very much like that era of Sega racers. And so it's kind of, you know, low polygon, but kind of cool lighting. Yeah. It's very true to it though. In fact, when you listen to the sound on this thing, it's like, choose a level, and you choose.
Oh yes, please.
Checkpoint breached. And it's just that voice and all that stuff. It's super over the top, crazy taxi / Daytona era.
What's the music like?
It's super Sega game music.
Yeah.
Big time. It's a lot. Actually, the comparison I would use for the music would be like Fall Guys uses a very similar soundtrack.
Right.
And then you pick a character and they're all stupid and cheesy, but great in their own dumb way. I like Marcus he's from Jamaica. He's cool. I picked that guy because he's always going, yeah, man, I raised my car against you, man, that kind of thing. And this blonde guy they're picking on the video right now, his name is Mike. He's from the U.S. and I hate him.
He's so basic. Basic Mike, baby.
Hate Mike.
Oh, what kind of weirdo costume is that to have?
That's what I'm saying, right? It's dumb. I play this on stream a little bit too, so some people saw me play this. It gives you a choice between automatic and manual transmission. You pick one of four cars to start with. You unlock more cars as you go, and you can also modify those cars as you go, and you spend currency that you earn when you win races. The races themselves are very arcade. They're like, if you don't get to the checkpoint before the timer runs out, you lose. Right. Like it's almost like they're asking for more quarters, except there are no quarters. It's just sort of
right.
Just get there.
You just like flat out lose. You got to start from the beginning of the.
Basically, yeah. So this is the kind of thing you would have bought back in the day. You would have bought a 32X to stick into your Genesis so that you could play a game that kind of looked like this. It's very fun. They kind of nail the feel of one of these kind of games in a way that I was super impressed with. It uses that simplicity to its advantage. There's great drifting in the game, so you're just drifting around corners. Feels really good. It's a little
car collisions.
Oh yeah, definitely car collisions. Although nothing too like, you know, it's not Burnout where everyone's shattering by a billion pieces. But you know, there's enough of that where it feels meaty. There's a turbo thing that you earn each. I forget how you earn them. Maybe it's by hitting the checkpoints. You get some turbo meter.
Something about this. This track really reminds me of the old Need for Speed. Something about
interesting. Yeah, I kind of get that. I can see that. Sure.
The cars are the old school stuff, but
like an old
very much influenced.
Like an old 3DO version of Need for Speed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could totally see where you're coming from. Back before it was a great series and then a dumb series again, which they should fix. But anyway, it's super straightforward. You want to win races. It's very arcadey. A lot of really, you know, wheel gripping action. Some of these other races give you a real hard time. Here's what I like, though. It takes that fun arcade stuff for the actual gameplay, but it throws in a whole progression thing that you're used to in more modern games. So unlocking car parts and new car designs and paint jobs and skins and like all the things you sort of expect from a game these days of almost any genre. It's like they have unlocks, they have abilities to do new things, speed up your car, modify your car or whatever. I really, really like it a lot.
How much did you pay for this game?
I paid developer code for it.
Developer code money. How'd you get that?
They just sent me a code out of the blue and I went, yeah, I will play this. And then I've been so pleased with it. It's not too bad. It's $19 on Steam. It's also available on Switch for the same price.
Oh.
I don't know about Xbox One or PS4 because I didn't look at the PS4. Anyway, it's very cool.
Wait, not Jim in the chat room. Are you saying it's on the Game Pass? Free Rangers is correct. He's saying it is on the Game Pass.
See, that's the other thing. Stuff is so often on Game Pass, and I don't even think to look first. I got to remember to look first all the time. But in my case, I got a code.
Well, so I know, and I'm playing some this week. Is it multiplayer? Can we play like against each other online?
That is a great question. I didn't look at multiplayer. Let's just see if they say it's in there in the Steam page. I think it says yes, online co-op. And I knew this because I tried it. Got online co-op and shared split screen co-op as well.
Oh,
so there's no
Brian's got himself a Ferrari steering wheel.
Oh, I take it back. Online PvP and all of it. So you're good to go. All the fun and none of the trouble. It's got a
there's the thing in race car games that we used to do a lot of, like when we play multiplayer games.
Yeah.
And it's very game breaking. But I used to race against my friends, and if you would get too far behind your friend, you'd just turn your car around so you could like head-on collision your friend. Do you do that? Is that something?
No, because in this game, if you miss the timer on the
checkpoint, it cuts you off. Okay,
yeah, you're done.
But is that something you do in race games if there's an option?
Oh yeah, if you have the option to do it, sure, you go back to the other side and smash it.
Right. I mean, if you're gonna lose, you might as well help the other person lose as well. Yeah,
I used to do that on Wipeout, and I would smash Pibbit in the face back on PS3.
Brilliant.
It's cool. It's just a great one of those. And they did a great job here. By the way, to give the developers some credit here, it is Sumo Digital Limited and Lucky Mountain Games made it. Published by Curve Digital. You've seen them before. They make lots of published a lot of games.
Came out just this past month on the 10th.
Mm-hmm. It's very cool.
And a whopping $20 like you said. That's good stuff.
It says here in the description, Hotshot Racing is a blistering fast arcade style game fusing drift handling, razor sharp retro visuals.
Fusing your hand to the steering wheel.
And an incredible sense of speed to create an exhilarating driving experience. I think it's very, very good and worth your money.
Shot racing. How uninspired.
Not shots. Shot. And yes, it's a stupid name.
So there's no S on it. It says Hot Shot.
Hot racing. Shot Racing. It's not a cool name by any stretch.
It's not a cool name.
They should have called this Low Poly Junior. I don't know what they call it.
Right.
Something else. Because it deserves more. Because look at that, man. Just look at this thing. Oh, look at that.
This is a good looking game. Yeah. It's a good looking. But what you think they were trying to name it like you would expect to be named if it had been made there in that time? Because these aren't names that I would remember. Hot Shot Racing.
Oh, I would have never called it.
If I was in the arcade and I saw Hot Shot Racing, I'm like, I'm not playing that.
Yeah.
I'm dropping my coin in there. Forget that crap.
Sometimes you just want a dumb, fun racer. This is one of those.
And I actually have a code for one of those as well. Didn't talk about it this week because I didn't get much playing into it. But I think it's called Inertia Drifting or something like that. Oh. It is all based around drifting. And it looks really cool. I
like drifting.
Gotta play it.
Drifting is cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, available everywhere. Go check it out. Brian, tell me about As Far as the Eye.
Oh, I'm going to tell you about As Far as the Eye. So what is the eye? It is where you are trying to take your pupils in this strategy game that is turn-based. and you are the wind, Scott.
Whoa.
You are the Psy. You play as the Psy. Really what you're doing is you're God moding it, and you're telling the pupils what to do. So the pupils, you tell them to, when they get to what's called a halt, which is a biome.
I want this game. I saw this somewhere.
It is beautiful. It just came out. It is developed by Unexpected, and it is published by Goblin Studio. And they did send me a review code for this, so I did play it that way. I played this on the PC Steam. It's supposed to be coming to the Epic Game Store if it's not already there. It just came out on September the 10th. That was on a Thursday this year. So what you're doing is you're building a mobile village. You're commanding these pupils, not really commanding as much as making suggestions as the voice of the wind. You'll notice if you look at me play here, across the bottom is a timeline, a bar. It is the impending doom, the nemesis of the game. It is the flood. So you are trying to get these pupils, as they are called. You're trying to gather resources for trips between biomes, which are called halts. And in order to move to the next halt, you have to have those resources collected. And then you move to the next halt before the flood comes, which is in so many turns. The game itself is gorgeous. I love how it looks. I love how it handles. And it's a keyboard game, but it doesn't have to be. Now, I have made very little use of my Steam game controller. But
do you know why? Because it's garbage, that controller. It's garbage.
Well, no, it's not garbage. The controller is an amazing controller. However, it doesn't really have a lot of purpose unless you find a thing like this game, which is As Far as the Eye. Yes, And so what it has is if you just have need of a couple of keys like WASD and mouse movement, this has got that. So there's like the trackpad where typically we'd have your right pad on a controller. You have like a touchpad that also works as a trackpad.
Right.
And it allows you to do mouse movements. This is the perfect game. If you have a Steam game controller and you're wanting to play this on TV and you want to cast it, as far as the eye, this is like the one that I have found. This has worked really well with that. And I really enjoyed just picking, because it's a little bit much to use the keyboard and mouse just to clicky click around. And I wasn't, it's only, like I said, just a couple of keys and a mouse. No big deal.
Sure.
All right. So there is survival. It is a roguelike.
Is it real time or turn based? I can't tell because it is
turn based.
Okay.
But only in the fact it's turn based in the fact that you're not competing against anyone other than your own time limit. So what you want to do is you want to make assignments and you want to be clear in everything you do, and then you cycle the day forward. So you usually you start out with like 3 move points for your characters, and they can move between these tiles. Mm-hmm. These tiles have resources on them, and you can collect wool, wood, and ore, and stone, and other such things as that. And reason why you're collecting those is because you'll want to eventually specialize your pupils. I really like what they got going on here with these pupils. The pupils are like these. They start as a base character, and they have no style. They're just a gray blob with a poncho. Then you can assign them a task, and as you assign them a task, they'll start gaining experience in that task, and they will turn into or morph into a character. So like the main character that you usually see when you start is a red panda, and the character will turn into a red panda as they gather items, which makes it real easy to see what the character is doing. And none of the characters are really, because you get to learn their names and you get to know a little bit about their personalities and their skills. They have, they have default buffs when it starts, because these are all procedurally generated when you start, when you arrive at a halt.
Right, that makes sense.
And you travel as a tribe, and you can see on the screen right now, if you're looking, there's a big rhinopelophus. I'm not even sure what they call it, but it's kind of like a rhino and a buffalo or a hippopotamus. It's some kind of hybrid animal. He's a pack animal, and you have so much space that you can pack on the back of that animal as he carries you from halt to halt. And What's fun about that is, as you collect resources that you need for each travel, you'll sometimes have extra resources. What do you do with those extra resources? Well, you pack them up and you take them with you, but you don't just pack them up anyway. Each one of these resources has a shape, like a Tetris shape. So in order to put it on the back of the pack animal, you have another screen that pops up, and it's a grid, and you have to figure out how to fit all of your little elements with these little Tetris shapes onto the back of the pack animal. Mm. So I started out in this game thinking, this game is going to be a little too simple. It's going to be kind of stupid. There's no real bad guy. There's no nemesis. And that's actually one of the complaints you will hear from people say. There's really not necessarily a motivating factor to go forward other than the flood is coming. Yeah. As the flood gets closer, you have what's called vagaries, which are, you know, it's where situations change. So you'll have locust. It's basically plagues, right?
Yeah, sure.
And so the reason why plagues are bad is because they'll usually attack your structures, which you've built. Like, let's say you build a place to get the wool. You'll have to build an area to get that wool from the animals so you can store it in there. So you have to build that. But then if the building can be destroyed by these vagaries, and that can definitely slow things down when you're trying to get to the next level.
Yeah, man,
the next,
those damned vagaries.
Right, the dang vagaries are always coming at me.
Being all vague.
And so, yeah. So your creatures can die as well, because if they get sick, these vagaries will come in, and they'll, like, let's say there's mosquitoes that hit the swamp tiles. By the way, the different tiles, swamp tiles, maybe sometimes take more move points to go across, so it can kind of slow your progress down. But also, if it gets infected with, like, mosquitoes, your character can get infected, and if you don't have any potion to heal them, they can die, and their poncho will just be there, and you'll no longer have access to that character at that halt. Luckily, usually when you go to the next halt, you'll usually pick up another character, or another tribe will be coming through, mm-hmm. and you can communicate with them, and they'll usually give you three options. You can communicate, trade, or get someone to come aboard.
Yeah.
So I'm not doing this game nearly enough justice, because this game gets pretty complicated, all the way down to cooking. Some of your pupils will take on the skill tree of cooking, or skill will is what it really is. It's like a will.
Yeah.
And you keep upgrading that character in that specific area. So if you decide to make a character take the path of that cook, you know, they won't do architecture.
Yeah,
you'll have to assign another character to do that. And of course, there's perks to doing that. Yeah. So I've really had a good time. The music is incredible. The artwork is a pleasure to look at. I love watching the little animatics, yeah. the little animations of the characters doing their little resource gathering.
Dang it, dude. I want this game. I'm trying to see.
I like the whole idea. It's very zen.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, I would love to see, and as far as the eye, and this is my personal preference, I would love to see like a nemesis, like somebody who is truly trying to stop me, because they deal a little bit with mysterious ancient artifacts.
Yeah.
So you can train a druid,
yeah.
or we put it this way, you're not really training. What you're doing is you're putting a pupil on the path to become a druid. And how that happens is by the task you assign them. And then they will morph into that druid character. And you'll know they're a druid character because they'll look like a druid character.
Oh, they reject me. That's why I didn't get it.
Oh, they rejected you? That's terrible. When did you ask? Because it might have been a while ago.
A while ago. Well, when I just saw it on Keymailer, I went, yeah, I'll try this.
Right. One. You may want to pull it back out and re-ask again, because I didn't have any trouble. But it only just launched, Scott. I mean, it just launched like last week.
How do you do it that?
They declined it. Ooh, I don't know. I know you can withdraw a request, but I don't know if they declined it. Maybe they'll be able to ask again.
I don't think they do. I don't think you get it. I think they just say, right? Well, you're declined.
You don't have the little thing, the option for it anymore.
No.
Well, if you can't do that, it's been on sale. I think it's been on sale recently, and right now it's sitting at around $25, but I've seen it for $19.99.
I want to say that's
on Fanatical.
It's on Game Pass by chance?
It is. I did not see it on Game Pass. I think it's only in the Epic Game Store and on Steam
Okay.
currently.
Okay.
I expect this to go elsewhere. Yeah, I didn't even talk anything about the balloons, by the way. Kit Lund is pointing that out, but she's right. So the balloons
seem cool.
The balloons really signify not much more than that's how they carry the objects that they carry.
Okay.
And you can also, there's a lot of neat little things you can quickly and easily. The interface design, whoever did the UI did a fantastic job. You can move and choose your characters very quickly. You can change the colors on your characters so you can more easily see them. When one of them dies, you can choose to you can start back over on the halt, or you could just say it's okay. When you're playing this, when you first start, you can play through a campaign. It's 5 chapters, and each chapter requires usually going across like 3 or 4 halts before you get to the eye to complete that chapter, and usually do it with different characters who have different skill sets. There's a large tutorial that kind of guide you through everything. As a matter of fact, when I stopped using the tutorial, I forgot how to pack up before the wave appeared, and I've actually gotten wiped out with the wave, and that's very scary. The wave is scary. If you gotta at least get the wave at least one time.
Yeah,
you probably could avoid it, but it's really neat to see it come in. By the way, there's also knowledge points that you can apply to. There's so many modifiers. That's what's great about this game. So many modifiers to the game that just make it really layered. And the, like I said, the story as well and the narration is a lot of fun. It really sucks you in. I spent easily a good 6 to 8 hours this week playing this. Matter of fact, more than that, because I spent 4 hours playing it Sunday, just sitting down strategy game.
Yeah.
In one session. So,
well, here's what should happen. If you ever get cold at night, get a bucket. And
get a bucket.
Get some lighter fluid, and then take your Steam controller, put it in the bucket, and then squirt it up, and then you light it on fire and let it melt.
Need it often, but I'm telling you, man, this is an amazing controller for a very limited set of games.
Yes.
Limited set.
Yeah. Very. And if you were one of those poor suckers that paid $49 for it, I did pay
$49 for it, and I don't regret it at all because, I said, the games I literally have 20 controllers. I mean, come on.
So here's Brian, everybody. He says,
I don't like Steam,
but
I love Steam
controller.
But I also love Steam. So
no, you love.
I love Steam
controller.
So you gotta put, controller.
You got to put a controller on there. All right,
but I like it. What I don't like.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what I don't like.
What you don't like.
I don't like the most pointless thing ever, which is that Steam Link. They don't sell that thing no more.
Yeah, it had potential because, you know, streaming games to your PC made sense, or to your TV and stuff made sense and all that. Mine was never good.
The only true advantage, okay, so if you ever used it through the Wi-Fi, it was useless. Horrible. It was pointless. Even with my really good Wi-Fi.
Yeah, same. I have great Wi-Fi. It never worked right.
It
drove me crazy.
It never worked right. So you had to have it wired. But I'm like, most PCs come with HDMI cables. Why not just run an HDMI cable to where you need it to? Because otherwise, you got to run a network cable. So unless you're living in a house that's already pre-wired with network, but not HDMI,
yeah.
I mean, I really didn't see the point in it.
Yeah, I agree. The fact that I got that and the controller for $5 was fine because I just wanted to test them, but they're not great. I had an easier time streaming Steam games to my G4 or my NVIDIA Shield.
Shield. TV yeah, the Shield worked well.
It worked great. Wi-Fi and everything, no problem. I don't understand why the freaking branded Steam one sucked so bad.
It was totally underpowered. It was just so underpowered. It was such a limited, once again, it was a very limited solution to a problem that was just, it was just pointless.
That's why I was so nervous, not nervous, but the reason I never, well, there's a lot of reasons why I didn't pull the trigger on the high-end Valve VR thing.
VR. Right.
Whatever it's called. Index.
Oh.
The reason I didn't get the Index is because,
there you go.
Partly, is because I feel like I've gotten burned by Steam hardware in the past.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know if we're going to make something decent or not. I mean, maybe they'll source it somewhere that's good. But these last couple times, you kind of bit me in the a-hole for, I was only $5.
Like I said, man, this controller is, garbage. It is an amazing feat. It really is.
That's a weird way to pronounce garbage. It's a weird pronunciation.
No, I'm telling you, man, this is a really good, well-built controller that, like I said, very limited usages, but it's still
You cray cray.
I like it. I like it.
Quick note. I am playing again. I started over because I only had 5% of it done, and I don't know why I stopped in the first place. I think I just needed to get out of the hype window because this happens sometimes. Like kind of like the Mad Max game. I finally beat it, and I loved it. And I right. did 100%. It's just a great game. And I'm in the mood for open world. So I cracked back open Middle Earth Shadow of War from 2017. And I'm loving it. They took out all the controversy about microtransactions. That's all gone. It's just out of the game. They don't have it now. And so that happened a long time ago too. But I needed to get away from the overhanging fruit that was the controversy of that game before I could really truly enjoy myself. I think I'm there now. And I'm loving that game. It's Ooh. Great. It's great. So I already owned it. I'm playing it. Middle Earth Shadow of War. It's great.
Yeah.
It says here you've been busy with... you're going to GameStop. You already mentioned that. Very exciting. Very. You're going to have to report on that. You know, you're going to have to...
I will. I'm going to report on it. Because I have a feeling that I'm probably going to be the only person in there. And mm-hmm. I'm going to order it.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to type my information into the computer.
You're probably smart because
and then they're
nobody's
going
to
go. Congratulations, sir.
Yeah, nobody's going to go to these stores individually. You're going to actually beat the crowd and not have to deal with like crap. I think you're smart.
I'm hoping it's a nightmare, so it'll make an interesting story. How about that?
Free Rangers, you're totally right. It was never a bad game. It's just gamers have a way of creating stink clouds sometimes when there's a release. Mm. Same thing happened with Batman Arkham Knight, an amazing game. But it had a really rough launch on PC for a lot of players, not me. It was fine for some reason. I don't know why.
Right.
But it just sours the milk when everyone's complaining and leaving zero score Metacritic reviews and just being a-holes generally online. I've got to get to a place where I don't care about that stuff at all anymore, or I avoid it completely and go with my gut and trusted sources, and that's it. Because... That game was awesome at launch, and it's fine now, and we're out of the window. Now, something like No Man's Sky, yes, launched very rough. No question. It's amazing now. Love that game now. So there's obviously it's all, you know, they're going to have different mileage depending on what you're talking about here, but I'm sick of the world telling me what I should like. F off, world.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell them. I like my Steam controller.
Steam controller. Except for that.
I know there's so much hate about this Steam controller, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't get it. I think it's fine.
Yeah. So it's fine. It is fine. What you're saying is true. In a world of, we have an embarrassment of riches when it comes to video game cool things.
If this was my only controller, I'd be pissed.
Of course you would, because it would suck.
It would absolutely
suck.
But
as a secondary thing you can experiment things with and do weird stuff you can't do with another controller. Okay, sure. I'll give you that. What else? That's it. Let's do an email. Oh, no, let's do Guess My Game. Let's do that. Jeez, everything's going off.
It's a meme, Mom!
All right, we're going to do Guess My Game. We play a clip from a game of yore, and one of us tries to guess each other's game. I'm going to start, and Brian, we're going to see how you do here. This is probably going to be really hard, but I will say, think pre-NES. It's probably going to be obvious.
That
it's pre, but you may not know what it is. So anyway, here it is. Check it out. Play this a lot at my friend's house.
Sounds like you're ET falling in a hole and trying to come back up.
It does a little. I mean, you're in the right era-ish.
Right.
But...
What is this game?
Any idea?
No. Can you play a little more again? Can you play it again?
Yeah, here comes. See, that's the part that should give it away for you, if anything does. Because the rest of it's just...
Right.
It's all stupid. But this first part... That's their attempt at like crowd noise and whistling.
Yeah, that does kind of sound familiar. Is it... Oh... Is it Joust or something stupid?
Free Rangers. It's the new Call of Duty, isn't it? No, it is not Joust. I've done Joust here before. This is...
I know. That's the reason why I didn't think it would be Joust. But it feels like for some reason, I can see this game, and I feel like it's like platforms on a screen.
Oh, well, you'd be wrong. It's
I'd be wrong.
In television baseball.
Oh, okay. Wow, I didn't see that in my mind at all.
I loved that game because A, it was all we had, and B, it was as close to baseball I'd ever played in a video game, and I love baseball
Those sounds do not take me out to the ballpark at all. I mean,
this, they don't have any music, first of all. Second of all, this bit, that's supposed to be crowd and like honking on horns and stuff, getting excited. This bit right here. Listen to this bit.
Is that the ball coming in?
That first bit is the ball coming in right here.
Oh my God.
Okay. And then that was a swing. And then this part is the ball flying. And this next part is where it lands in the ground where the outfielders are.
They are taking some serious creative license.
Yep. Oh, yeah, for sure. And this is supposed to be the sound of someone catching it. I mean, what kind of sound is that?
Wow. Yeah, I would never guess that. That was a... could have told me that was the game, and I still would have said, nah, you mixed your sound files up.
Yeah. It's archaic as hell. Like, their soccer and their football game, they both sounded the same.
Now, the football games, it seems like I remember them having those kind of sounds, but the baseball game, I don't remember being like
totally.
That.
I mean, this thing at the beginning, wherever it is, I think they just reused it.
Pretty sure they did.
All right. Intellivision Baseball, available now on your Intellivision device. Here is Brian's. Let's see if I can figure it out.
It was 1988. Scott had just gotten his NES.
I know this.
Of course you know this. He had longingly waited. It had been in Japan for almost a full year. Yet to be released in the U.S. The year was 1988.
Is this one of the Castlevania games?
It is a Castlevania game. Which one, Scott? For the win.
Castlevania 2.
Now you're hearing it.
Two, right?
Two, yes. But what is the subtitle of Castlevania 2?
Frankenstein's Lover. No, Dracula's Anus. I have no idea. What is it?
Simon's Quest.
Oh, Simon's Quest, of course. Oh yeah, look, the chat room knew. They knew. Hey, I did pretty good though.
I figured the longer the clip played, the greater possibility for you to be Castlevania, because near the end it's very Castlevania. That part I picked at the beginning was sort of questionably
Castlevania. Well, something I learned recently, and I remember where I heard it, but Castlevania 1 and 2 were not what we call Metroidvanias now, meaning the Vania part is not what we refer to. We only started doing that based on Symphony of the Night for the PS1.
Right.
Because
that's my understanding.
Yeah, because the way that those games are structured, and us now referring to them as Castlevania likes or Metroidvania likes, because Metroid's a lot like that too, didn't happen until then. I thought that kind of semi open maze gameplay or whatever went all the way back to 1 and 2, because I guess I just don't remember them. Oh, was it? Right. Yeah, it was TMS Battle Royale. That's what it was.
What?
Yep, that's what it was. I couldn't remember where. You and I were there. You were there.
I know. And I'm the one on the drugs.
That's you sniffing drugs right there. All right. Now this.
Wouldn't a dog have him?
Yeah, no kidding. All right. What we got here is an email. Ooh. And it's directed directly at you. It comes from a guy named Chapel Bob. Bob.
Well, Chapel Bob.
Do you know him? I don't know that name.
Yes. I know that. Chapel Bob.
Have you seen him around? You've seen him in like a chat room or something? Anyway. Yes. Says, hey, correct. Brian, you used to play only demos, but now you seem to only play full games. Why don't you play demos anymore? A concerned listener, Chapel Bob. How come you're not rocking the demos anymore, man?
Raz is a good point. So, during the great age of of demos... was my time of divorce.
Very
broke.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It was very broke indeed.
Yeah.
It wasn't a choice.
Yeah.
It was a lifestyle.
Gotcha.
Thrust upon me by my own poor decisions. But I still like playing demos still. I mean, plus it was a different time. There's a couple things, really. I mean, like I'd say that I was a little, didn't have as much disposable income at the time. The kids were a little bit younger, so I spent a lot of money there. Mm-hmm. But also a thing that's changed a lot over time is I wasn't as concerned about getting a bad game. Because we have a lot of these things you can get refunds on within a certain
period. The digital space means refunds if you need them.
Right. Yeah. So I would almost absolutely refuse to play. I had gotten burnt several times. You know, when you drop $50 on a game and it ends up sucking, you're like, oh, I'm just, ooh, oh. Like
in Steam's case, we used to, you know, it hasn't been as long as we think it has since we've been able to do refunds on there. I remember when that changed.
Right. And it was just a couple years ago, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe a little more, but still, like, relatively recent. So, yeah, I agree. That's the other thing.
But tell Bob, yeah, that's a good question. I was known for my demos and playing a lot of demos, and because it was mostly because a couple of factors, of course, money, time, and did I mention I'm cheap? Was that?
You were a little cheap.
So money's really worth mentioning twice. Money, time, and cheap.
Yeah, there we money, go. Time, and cheap. I gotcha. Those three.
And plus, like Game Pass, that makes a big difference too. Because, you know, it's like an expected cost.
Oh, yeah.
Ahead of time. And I just go in. I'm like, it's like almost having free games.
Yeah. Now that stuff's a thing, it's a huge difference. It is for me too. Right. Like, you know, plus we get codes for stuff now. And it's like, I don't know.
That's the other thing too. That's helped a lot too. Yeah. So maybe we should talk about that one day for people who are aspiring Twitchers that, you know, how to kind of get in there, because it's a little bit of a mystery how to you know, communicate with game developers and get those game codes so that you can play. So
we should do a whole 5-part series on how to get your codes.
Yeah,
today. All right,
right now.
That's the
load them up.
That's going to be the end of the show. If you want to send in your own emails, like Chapel Bob, boopshow@gmail.com. That is boopshow@gmail.com. frogpants.com/boop is the website. You can find this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. If you're looking for archives or whatever, you'll find them there. We also put the video recorded version up on YouTube when we're done. So you can check that out as well. We're on Twitter @BoopShow. Brian's at @TheBrianDunaway. I'm at Scott Johnson.
Oh, hi.
That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, for all of you. See you next week. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like Steam.
I love Steam.